KD, take it away. Okay, so, and at the risk of being tzedukim, chalila, let's try to translate these psukim. It's not so easy, but you have people who are fighting, v'chiyinatzu an Hashem. Right. Right, it's a tragedy, yeah. So there'd be some kind of a penalty, right? Anoshi anesh, she will surely be punished. Now, it turns out that we're going to find out that that means mamon in a second, but anosh ye anesh, we don't know exactly what that means. Kasher yashis alav bal ha'isha, whatever the husband of this woman, in other words, the woman who miscarried, maybe these were his children, right, as he places upon him, v'nasan b'flilim, and it will be given what's b'flilim, v'oivenu plilim, v'yifalel. Right, it doesn't say vayispalel o nemar elo vayifalel biflilim ve'oivenu plilim. Rashi quotes it in Erkos, we said earlier this year. Judges, right? So v'asan biflilim, the judges will supervise. V'im ason yihyeh, right? The first pasuk was v'lo yason, but v'im ason yihyeh, that an ason, disaster in modern Hebrew, so there's some ason, v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, that sounds, right, like, it's not mammon, right, as if it were, you know, okay, so let's see, we have to run to Rashi, like, as quickly as possible. Okay, go ahead, anosh yanesh. Ah, mammon. Okay, very good. Which would, you know, ostensibly lead one to the conclusion, v'masonia v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, then it goes on, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. So it turns out that a lot of that, not all of that, is, we learned that that did mamon also, but at least, right, in this situation, you know, we can understand what's the sariel, what's the basis for it being mamon? What's the meaning of lo yason in this case? Who was fighting and who unfortunately suffered the consequences? Like, why would we not? Right, so there were two individuals who were fighting, and tragically there was a woman, right, the wife of one of the people, you know, perhaps, or she was just a bystander, whatever it was. And, you know, in this rough and tumble, you know, people are having what do they call it? The UFC, mixed martial arts, right? The people are doing this, and you know somebody you know tries a flip side, you know 360 kick, you know whatever it is, and you know hits the wrong person. You know a tragedy can happen. So it was accidental, you know, in a to a degree. Okay, so the Gemara. This is on Ayin Dalid. Have a look. So what's the sheet of Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul that Abaye is referencing? Okay, so this is the principle of excessive force, right? You really could have stopped somebody who was a rodef, and we've already defined the terms of rodef. We paskin that nitan latzilo benafsho applies when there's a pigam head yod, whether it's ritzicha or arayos. We saw, right, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Shimon, that theoretically it could apply to pigam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't accept that as a ruling. It's a fascinating havamina. You guys know the sugya well, but you know, the question is, what happens if somebody is excessive, right? They had the capacity, or a sniper, and they could have shot the person in the leg, and they would have no longer been a rodef, you know, and instead they shoot them, you know, between the eyes, you know, at a range of 300 meters, you know, in the Marine marksman. So it seems pretty clear that they could have done differently, right? The person can't say, well, you know, I really can't aim. I only shot him between the eyes from 300 meters, you know, on a dead run. Tarte mashma, the dead run. But, you know, very few people can do that, right? So it would seem like that it was an act of murder. And not only is it an act of murder, but it seems like it's punishable by death, right? Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul says, Nerag alav. Should we assume that simple reading is that it's punishable by death, right? Okay. So my time, the Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul already come up with this. Dechsiv. Okay, so what? It's like, what? The pregnant woman? What did I have to do with it? Okay. So Amr Blazar. V'im ason yehiyah, if it's a catastrophe, a disaster, right, implying, you know, something volitional, v'nasata. Okay, so if you would say that, okay, despite the fact that you have the capacity to stop him without killing him, that, you know, hutar damo, you're allowed to kill him because he's a rodef, so we don't have to use proportional force to accomplish our goal, but just say, kill the guy, right? You know, that's another way of looking at it. The person has been hutar damo lemisa, chasing after somebody else with the intent of killing them means that your blood is now permissible. Okay, so if you would say that, you're still allowed to kill the guy. Right, then how could it possibly be that the person should be right? Because what did he do that's so terrible? Okay? Okay, so we say, well, maybe this is a different case because, we'll see in Rashi in just a moment, there are two different parties, right? There would be Misa Lazeh, but Tashlumin Lazeh, right? A person is trying, let's say, to kill one person, and then an accident happens, like we talked about the Isha Hara, so that would be a Tashlumin situation because you were trying to harm that person. Okay, so once a person is mischai b'nafsho, right, we can't get him on a misa and tashlumin, okay? Okay, so it's really interesting. So if you're the one being chased and you're like, you know, it's like you imagine the movie scene where somebody is running for their life, right, and they're jumping over fences and whatever it is, right, and if it's like an action movie, they're crashing cars into pretty much everything, but somehow not getting hurt by it. So the situation is, so the nirdaf, obviously he doesn't have to compensate and pay restitution to the rodef who's trying to kill him, right? Let's say he was running through his, you know, rose hedges, and, you know, he tore up his rose hedges, and the guy says afterwards, you know, like, I'm really sorry that I was chasing you and trying to kill you, but you really did trample my garden. Can you please pay me $2,000? That would make no sense, right? But if he tramples somebody else, if he runs through Nurse Navi's garden, okay, you know, is he off the hook? I mean, we would encourage him to do so because we want him to save his life. But that ties into the sugya of Matzil Atzmo b'mamon shel chaveru, and we're on record in that sugya. Go ahead. Migufo, right? It make no sense to say, yeah, he can kill the rodef, but he has to protect his property. Right. So we know that a matzal atzma, mamon chaveru, has to pay compensation. It's a very fascinating halacha. So if somebody's chasing me, and I'm trying to, and it's in Birkenfield, and I'm trying to save my own life, and I've got to trample Nurse Navi's, you know, rose garden, I do it, but I do it with the knowledge that it's going to cost me. That's just the way it's going to play out. Then it'll be me having to sell the sodas here to try to recover my assets, okay? Now, here's an interesting takana derabanan. Go ahead, KD. Okay, so what's that about? He said, really, if I'm the nirdaf, I'm chayav because I'm atzal atzma mamon chaveiro. But if there's somebody who's trying to stop the rodef and he runs through Nurse Navi's garden, right? He's trying, right? And he destroys the rose, you know, bushes, whatever it is. Shibar sakelim, bein shel rodef, bein shel, whoever it is he destroyed, bein shel kol adam, Nurse Navi, pater. V'lo min hadin, but it's not really, this is the halacha, but why do we do this? Shim iata omer kein. Oh. So explain the logic to me, KD, and then we'll fill in the Rashis.
Okay, if, like, Saril is chasing Tzvi, and so I'm going to go chase Saril, but if I know I'm going to be chayiv for Nurse Navi's garden, I'm not going to chase Saril.
No way, right. And say, like, look, I can't afford this. I feel very badly. Now, that's really interesting, because remember in the sugya of Losamod, we proved you have to be willing to spend your money, right? Megar agure. But, you know, we are concerned for human nature. So, of course, you'd be obligated to do it. But, you know, people are like, oh, saving Tzvi, paying all of the landscaping fees, we've got to make tuition this semester. Ah, another casualty of yeshiva tuition. Sorry. So we're really concerned about that. Now, why aren't we equally concerned for the nirdaf, right? Let's plug it back in. Why did Chazal only make that takana? But if I was the one, let's say I was being chased by Sammy the Bull Gravano, right? And so then I am running for my life and I trample Nurse Navi's, rose garden. So why is it that I am chayev? Yeah.
Because you're not
going to
think twice about it.
Right. Maybe I'll think twice, but I'll still try to save it. In the end, right, most people are going to go for the save, of themselves because Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo. It's only when it comes to somebody else that people start getting a little bit stingy. Okay, so Chazal dealt with the world as it is, not the world that we wish it was. You know, halavai, that everybody, you know, wouldn't think twice, but we want to incentivize people. So we waive, you know, we'll have to start a GoFundMe for Nurse Navi's roses after, this all goes down because, you know, this is something that we just, as a society, we want to make sure that people make the right choice. And we don't want to disincentivize people from making the right choice. Yeah, KD.
Can you say that they're pother because the nirdaf already trampled the roses? Like,
No. Let's say, I'm the one who's being chased, right? And if I trample Nurse Navi's garden, so I'm chayiv to pay. But let's say I'm the one who's being chased and I'm in the Schreiber's backyard. But you come along with your sniper rifle and you realize that the way to get the best shot, the cleanest shot, is to go into the rose garden, right? Lay down in the rose garden and then, we're going to come around the bend in just a second. That's the situation, right? So it's, it hasn't been trampled before and you'll be there and then we'll see what's going to happen with you. And that's the Rabbi Yonasan Ben Chol case, right? Because, in that situation, we're going to see, are you going to go for the leg or are you going to go for between the eyes? And if you go for between the eyes when the guy is running at full speed, then we'll know that KD, was using excessive force. So, all kidding aside, this is what's called the doctrine of proportionality in halacha and in other systems, right? The laws of war in general reflect this. So if, This happens, all the time. So, let's say, some terrorist in Gaza sends up one of these balloons to burn somebody's field, right? It's a terrible thing. There's real mammon, which is lost. If Israel would then drop an atomic bomb on Gaza in response, which they don't do, right? They go the other direction. But if they would drop an atomic bomb, I think most people would agree that was like a disproportionate or excessive use of force, right? Not that the world cares, you know, for the world, you know, if we would do anything, it would be an atomic bomb. But, you know, I'm saying objectively, to say like, oh, you know, we felt we had no choice. After all, this guy sent one of these Molotov cocktails in a balloon. We figured we had to go nuclear. It's going to be hard to explain. So the halacha dictates that excessive force could actually be, you know, a chi of misa. In America, obviously, almost all the cases of excessive force, again, these are ma'isim shebechol yom, are police cases, right, where there's an understanding that somebody needs to be arrested or whatever it is. The question is that they need to be killed. And, you know, it happens, unfortunately, very, very, very often. And, you know, this is, you know, like a really important subject to understand from a halachic point of view. So this is what we call nitan lehatzilo be'echad me'evarav. Now, we should make it very, very clear in our evaluation of the sugya that it has to be dealt with in reality. So not everybody, as we know, is even capable of being matzil be'echad me'evarav. Remember, we dealt with a situation where somebody really has those skills. But the average person obviously doesn't have those skills, right? So we have to know who we're dealing with. If you're dealing with, you know, the one in a million case of a Marine sniper, so he's going to have a lot more to answer for. If you're going to deal with the average person, even the average person with a firearm, or even maybe the average police officer, you know, depending on how trained they are, you know, the ability to be so medakdeik in a, what they call a kinetic situation when people are running around, it's not like, you know, and the thing about target practice is the target is not moving, right? But in like a real life situation, right, so most people are not capable of being so accurate. So a lot of this depends on the metzias. Okay, so let's see the Rashis, which are very, very important here. And we'll bring everything together for us, and then we'll take a look at the Me'iri. I'd like to at least try to get through that today. Hamatzil. Yonasan ben Shaul. Remember, it's a machokes. So we paskin like Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul. The yachol hanirdaf, whether it was the person who was being chased himself, ohor o ehu, or a concerned third party. So it sounds like he really gets a death penalty, right? Because we say, look, you obviously could have shot the person in the leg. You wantonly shot the person between the eyes. You killed him, right? You're a murderer. Right, Rechinatsu Anashim, right? He was trying to kill his friend. Dechsivim Aso Nihia. Right, because the Pasuk said, Vinasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. We don't kill a Rotzeach Bishgaga. Alav. And we have to figure out why. Why should it only be Mamon? Iyamart Bishlama. Kigon Shiyachal Haro Lahatso Bechar Mevarav. Okay, so if we say it's a situation of exactly, and he didn't do it, so then he should suffer the severest of consequences. Ella iamart. Right, if we don't hold like Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul, so then we could go all the way. Hutar dama lemisa. So Gemara responds, Dilma shani hacha. Okay, so we have now a very important principle. It's true that when a person is chayav misa because of something that they did, they're not typically going to be chayav mamon. But what's the one situation, Sariel, where we'll say, no, we can actually get you on both, where we're going to give you a chayav misa and also a chayav tashlumen, if it's not the same... Exactly, right? So we said, Misa lazeh, v'tashlumin lazeh. Who are you paying? There's some random guy, you know, whose wife, sadly, it's a very sad thing, was standing there, right? So you have a situation where person kills somebody else, right? And as happens every day, sadly, in the streets of Chicago, then there's some kind of a collateral damage. Right? Somebody's deliberately killed, but then there's also a third party who's walking down the street, you know, and injured. Or walking down the street and their house gets blown up. You know, whatever it is. So that's a situation where the halacha would say, Misa lezeh v'tashlum min lezeh. You don't have a kim lebe de rabba mine, quite simply. Okay? Acher, right? Bishvil Acher, a third party putter. Okay, so that would be a situation. Right? Again, if you hold that the person who's the rodev has been hutar dama lemisa in this situation, you know, not everybody will accept Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul. Sherei nitan latzilo b'naf shavavgav dekelim halalu shol shar kol adam. Right, these, you know, people, whatever, they're chasing them through a back alleyway. There are people's property there, right? Misa lazeh v'tashlum min lazeh pater. So we're saying that the rodef will not be chayev because even though he's chayev misa, let's say, you know, for whoever will stand up and protect the nirdaf, anybody would have the right to kill him unless they could, let's say, only neutralize him by shooting him in the leg. But in the meanwhile, right, the rodef is trampling over people's roses and tulips and breaking people's property and all kinds of other things. So we still say that he's pater. So the Gemara says it's kasha, right? Because that should be a situation where it's misa lazeh v'tashlum lazeh. Why wouldn't the rodef actually be chayev tashlumin, okay? Okay, very good. So the way that the Gemara turns out is the following. It seems like we paskin like Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul, which again is going to be our major focus. And it also seems like we paskin that even in a situation of misa lazeh and tashlumin lazeh, we prove this based on the rodef, right? The rodef is chayiv misa to whoever will step up and kill him, whether it's a nirdaf or anybody else. But nonetheless, right, you know, he's pater, mina tashlumin, you know, he's going to be exonerated. Rodef shei rodef acher chavero, the monetary damages, v'shiber sakelim ben shal nirdaf ben shal kol adam pater. So we paskin both those things, as you can see in the Masores Hashas. Now, if you take a look over at Tosos, this is, again, the nirdaf, right, doesn't have to make restitution to the rodef if he tramples through his rose garden and trying to save himself. Okay, go ahead, Tosfos. Right, so if he can save himself by killing the person, Kol Shekein can save himself by trampling the person's rose garden. Okay, so let's have a look at the Meiri, who tries to distill our Gemara for us, and this will be a good place for us to take stock. Kol shekasavnu b'chan, b'kom b'sacherim. She'in adam b'in yushalim, dafka b'shavita b'tashlum in ebu b'an ke'achal al yidei achal. Oh. Aval imita ba b'shul achal, b'tashlum b'shul acher, harei zemi yushalim. So the Meiri maintains, we do have the possibility of meis umishalim. So im kain. Lidvara vera. Tam beautiful. So the Meiri explains, it's actually not a situation of Misa Lezeh V'Teshlum Lezeh. Why is it not a situation of Misa Lezeh V'Teshlum Lezeh? Because by virtue of the fact that he's a Rodef, by virtue of the fact that he's a Rodef, to whom is he Chayav Misa? What's that? Who's allowed to? Everyone! You follow? This is a beautiful Meiri. Let's just take that line again. Tam hadavar mipnei shemitzad redifaso nischaye benafsho af labala kalim. Had the Bala Kalim, right? Let's say he, again, he's running through some back alleyway, like you see in the movies, right? And, you know, he knocks over somebody's pots, and somebody, like, sticks their head out the window and goes, hey, like they do in the movies, hey, you know? And the guy's already gone. But let's say instead of sticking out his window, you know, his head from the window and saying, hey, let's say he sticks out his head from the window and takes a sawed-off shotgun, you know, and, you know, blows the guy to smithereens, right? That was legitimate. In which case, since the guy was Chayav Misa Lazeh, right? This third party, so he's going to be Pater on his Kalim, which allows the Meiri to say, this doesn't violate our principle of Misa V'Tashlumin Bo'in Kechad. You could really have a situation if you're Chayav Misa Lazeh and Tashlumin Lacher, where a person would still be on the hook. But Rodev doesn't violate that principle. Sorry, Al. In the case of Rodev or in a general case?
Rodev, you would not have
to. So in the case of Rodev, the Rodev doesn't have to pay anybody for damaged goods because that person whose goods he damaged was eligible to kill him at the time. But in a general sense, we could have somebody who is chayav Misa and Tashlumin. Chayav Misa for killing somebody, let's say, and Tashlumin for harming some third party in the process. Right? Okay. So this is a critical point, and I just want to go a little bit further in the Meiri, and then I want to leave you guys with a question to think about. So go ahead, KT. Shiber, right? That's a PL. Good. Okay. So that's the way the Meiri scores everything. Now, I'm going to pose a question that I'm not going to answer right now, but I'll give the general the last word, is that there was another way of solving the dilemma of Rodef. Sariel, how would you have solved the dilemma of Rodef, right, without, the Miri's solution is very ingenious, right? He says, oh, because it's not Mamon Lazeh and Misa Lazeh, because they're all, everybody in the world, anybody whose property could possibly damage, could have killed the person at the time when he was being Rodef. Right, so therefore, he's Chayav Tashlumin to the same person to whom he was really Chayav Misa. That's a very ingenious solution. But there was another, I think, in a way, simpler, you know, solution. So Occam's razor, let's go for it. So Sariel, what would the simpler solution be? Between a regular case of Anoshi Anesh, V'chi Natsu Anashim, a Chayav Misa, and the Chayav Tashlumin that ostensibly are Boyin Ke'achad. How could it be mechalik between a standard case and a case of Rodef? We'd say Rodef is really no kasha. The fact that the...
it comes along with it as you're being a Rodef.
Ah, okay. Excellent. So Rodef isn't really a typical situation of a Chayav Misa. Normally, again, a Chayav Misa is a situation where you've done something for which you will be put to death. Ein Adam Meis Umishalim. The Rodef isn't being tried. It's not like, you know, we're going to get this guy in a charge of murder, and then we're also going to get this guy in charge of Tashlumin. For that, yeah, so it just depend on whether it's La'adam echad l'shnei bnei adam. And the halacha is, misa l'zeh v'tashlim l'zeh. That is the halacha. But in the case of Rodef, it's not as if the man is standing trial. This is all, you know, a preemption. In which case, it's very simple to explain. And it has nothing to do with the case of Misa Vitashlumen. The Rodef is Potter Min HaKelim for a completely different reason. Because at that moment, he was a Gavra Ketila. He was a person that anybody, in theory, could have killed. Okay, so it's interesting, right? The Meiri, working within the confines of the Gemara, puts it in more conventional terms. And he just says, well, in the end of the day, the guy whose property he broke, you know, he was sort of chayiv misa to that person. It's a very fascinating instantiation. So our focus, and I want to give the general the last word, so our focus is going to be on the issue of excessive force. I just wanted to show you the Gemara. You see that it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul and everybody else. Right? And Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul has this idea of neragalav. The question is, what are the gedarim of neragalav? The simple reading of neragalav, right, the way that the Gemara presents it, is that you'd actually be chayev misa. That you'd be taken to a bezdin, and you'd be chayev misa. General, go ahead.